the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus. We have the victory. Yes, in
the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes,
in the name of Jesus.
We have the victory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before
in the precious
name of Jesus. We have the victory
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Satan will have
to flee. When
we
come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. We have the victory. When we come in the name, hallelujah. Yes, when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand
before in the precious
name of Jesus. We have the victory. When we come in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand
before
in the precious name of Jesus. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. One last time. Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan will have
on up, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Amen.
Love that song. God has been too good to me.
Amen.
Another year down the drain, still undefeated.
Yes,
right. Right up here. And I'm just excited. At no time have I ever went, oh, maybe I can get through the day. No. God's been too good to me.
Amen.
It's Time to beat up a Sunday. Time to beat up Monday. Whatever day it is, time to beat up that day.
Amen.
Because I'm more than an overcomer.
That's the
like,
truth.
There's nothing in this life that's all that bad. Everything is temporary unless it's the Word, which is eternal. I don't have any problems up here that seems nothing now.
Right. Seems amen.
And I'm just, that song just reminded me basically of my whole life that I ever since I've been in this message. That no matter what, I've got the victory, and I'm ready to just face every single day. Like I said, we just got done beating up 2022. Time to beat up 2023.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Johanna, it's good to see you.
Hey.
I was just in there, and I was thinking about that song, and I was thinking, we have the victory because we already know the ending. Like, we know the beginning and the end. Even if I was never victorious over another circumstance, which I know God's in all that, too, I have the victory because I know that I'm going to be there then. And that was so exciting to me. And I was so enthused. And I was just sitting there thinking, this is the last Sunday. And I don't want it to go by without me just praising God for how good he's been to me. He's just been so good to me. And he lifts me up and he encourages me. And I'm just so glad because religion for a lot of people pushes them down.
Right.
But this church lifts me
up.
And I don't feel that heavy burden. And I'm just so thankful for this place. I'm thankful for this revelation. And thankful for the growth I've had this year, the growth the church has had this year, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just my heart's just full of thanks.
Amen. God bless us, Johanna.
Amen. Well, I got a chance. I'll jump in the middle here.
Go ahead. Go.
I see everybody coming. I said, you better jump or you're going to lose it. Brother Brandon, Brother Chubbs, all you said, I got to talk quick. I forget what I was thinking about. But, you know, in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
By the word of God. If the word says I'm a blessing, then I am.
Then I am.
The word says I'm sealed. If it says I'm eternal, whatever it says about me, that's what I hold to.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to hold to something eternal?
Amen.
When it's staring you right in the face, you know, Brother Branham always said, you know, why would you want to accept a substitute when the sky's full of real?
When the sky's full of real.
Something
yeah,
eternal. Why wouldn't I want to hold to that? Why wouldn't I want to testify of that?
Amen.
Why wouldn't I want to just identify with that? Amen. You know, there's so many temporal things that people hold to. And they know good and well it's not going to last.
Right.
But they hold to it, and they just put all kinds of stock in it. And you think, Lord, why wouldn't you want to stay with something
Amen.
Eternal?
Real.
But when I hold to that, I'm safe. When I hold to that, I'm eternal. When I hold to that, I can smile, I can rejoice all the way.
Amen.
Because I'm holding to something that's going to last.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
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 God bless you. Amen. You have to jump in real quick.
I want to go out of this year standing on the word of my testimony.
Right.
That's why I'm getting up. That's how we overcome. That's no joke.
Amen.
We overcome by the word of God. And, you know, one thing while we're all standing, I would like us, I request respectfully, that let's give a glorious round of applause to the man ordained to take us through.
Oh, yeah.
We're counting on you, brother.
Yeah, we're counting
and
on you.
And birthday's tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah. God bless you.
We overcome by the word of God. He said, if my word abide in you, and you abide in my word, you ask what you will, and I'll do it.
Amen. Amen.
Care of testimony, bless me.
Amen.
How do we overcome? Not by what we see, not by what it looks like.
Right.
Oh, you know,
what it says, what the word says.
It's what his word says, Brother
mm-hmm.
Jay. So I'm going to do like Kara did. When that devil comes up and the vision look crazy and cloudy, I tell him, it's a lie.
Right.
It's a lie. If it's against the word of God, it's a lie.
Right.
I don't care if it's as foggy as whatever. It's a lie. Oh,
right.
Let me tell you this. I have a brother up in Columbus. And my brother, I said, I had a burden on my heart. I said, let's go see him. And my brother said, you drive. I don't like to drive. And I don't like the highway. But guess what? I drove to Columbus.
Right, made it.
And guess what? Then I drove back.
Yeah.
The doctor said the prescription, you know, if you take it seriously, you can apply it and it'll bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you step out on it, it looks very scary because it's faith.
Right.
Faith is not what you see.
Right.
It don't look like it.
Right.
That's when you step out in the dark.
Right.
You don't see anything. The doctor said, the prescription was, he said, just start going in that direction. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a little step. And you know what? It does look scary, but by the grace of God, I'm not backing up.
Right.
The Jacob, and I'm going to sit down and shut up. This excites me.
Right, yeah.
This is what I live for.
That's right.
Jacob had a fight with the angel, right, and they fought all night long. And the morning started dawning, and God said, turn me loose. And he said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me.
Right.
So, okay, that being said, I'm going to ask AJ over there. You remember how to play guitar. Yeah. So I'm going to go out giving God what I have. Okay, I don't have much of a voice, but I'm going to praise him on something.
Perfect.
So somebody can testify.
Yeah, Sister
and if
Crystal,
and if you let us, after she gets done, I'm going to play a song.
Okay. Sister Crystal, go ahead while they're getting ready.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
I just would like to thank God for allowing me and you all here another day. I also, once again, want to thank Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Jay, the body, for all that you have done. And most importantly, I just want to share, I appreciate our young persons. They were here last week, and the message, it inspired me.
Amen.
You know, these are the people that is our next generation.
That's right.
And to know that they're walking with Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they have the faith, they have the word, they believe. I am just so, I mean, it was an honor, it was a privilege to see all that they have done.
Amen.
And I just want to say I'm just so grateful for another day. And my young persons, I love you. I'm so proud of you all. I am so proud of you all. In God's name.
Amen.
This song, I got to do one thing, but then I got another thing. The Lord, you know, we go by inspiration. I want to do something that blesses a body, and I want to remind you that he that started a good work in you, he's not going to give up. He didn't start this. He didn't get crucified. He didn't send us a prophet. They didn't send us a message for nothing. There's an end point. We, and I declare that I am the end of the sentence, the fulfillment of the scripture, and this is the day and the hour. So we're going to try to sing this. No, we ain't going to try to do it. We're going to do it.
Completed in your
You know, being the end of the year, it makes you a little reminisce-y. And I was thinking about, you know, my walk. I've been here for 33 years now, since I was born, and I think about how far that God's brought me. You know, in those first few years, you're just a kid, you come because mom and dad bring you, and then you know, something stirs inside of you, and then you're here for yourself.
Right.
You know, and I got married young and stuff, and I was just thinking, all those things, you know, they bring you further and further, and something that would have knocked me off when I was younger, now it doesn't even faze me. You know, I just think about that, you know, how far we've come, you know, how far I've come just this year, you know, and then I think about 2023, it's going to be even better. You know, it excites me. This message is always better and better and better. It doesn't get old. It doesn't, you know, wear down. As you get older, you wear down a little bit. But this message has never, ever let me down. And I was just thinking, I was talking to my kids this morning. I was running a little late. The snow messed my run up, and then Jeremiah came here early to check on the church. You know, I look at him, and I respect him for that. You know, he got up early, and he came here to make sure that this place was cleared up. You know, I love that man. So it gave me a few extra minutes this morning to get ready, and my kids were like, we're not really that late. And I was like, no, we are. You know, yes, church starts at 10, but I like to be here a little early because I want to get, you know, in the mood for worship, you know?
Sure.
And I was thinking, you know, Brother Moore, he's on Saturday night. He's thinking about this, you know?
Right.
And I don't ever want to be lazy, you know, and just think about myself, you know?
Right,
I want to be here for the body.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I'm an important part of this body.
Yeah.
And my testimony is important to this place, you know? Like James was talking, I was like, you know, you're right. It's my job to get up here and testify and put something out there for the body, you know? I love this place, and if I don't get to testify Wednesday, this will be my last one, but who knows? Because I'm never going to put God in a box.
No.
You know, I'm never going to say, oh, I testify too much, or I don't testify enough.
Amen.
You know, God's got me.
Amen.
He's got my voice. He's got my hands. He knows what to do with me.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I think, you know, your flesh messes up, but my soul, shoot. You know, and I just love that rest you get,
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And I am so looking forward to New Year's service, to seeing what God's got in store for us in 2023, you know? And I'm also looking forward to today, you know, what God's got for me to get me through the next week and then the next week. You know, I've only gotten better because I come to church and I'm working on those spiritual muscles, you know what I mean? I'm here when church is here. And I feel like, you know, I was just thinking all those things, you know. I just love this message. I love the peace and I love this place.
Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Well, all right.
I wanted to testify this morning about how Pastor Moore said, you got to push through things.
Yes,
you got to push.
Amen.
You know, I struggle to get up here to testify, but I got to push that way.
Yeah,
that,
you did.
You know, and, you know, last week I was struggling.
Uh-huh.
Grades were terrible, but I pushed through.
Yeah,
amen. All right. And now I'm sitting here peaceful.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for what the Lord has in store for us today, so.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
That's how you do it. Thank you for that. That's how you do it.
I cry enough by myself, but following him,
take that step.
That's such a blessing. It really is.
Amen.
But you're right. We just got off the road last night.
Yeah, we did.
And I was so ready to relax and just, you know, unwind.
So
and I knew the pastor was back there doing his duty.
Amen.
And I just want to say I appreciate you for doing that, too.
Amen.
But something has been on my mind that the pastor said about the creation of the world. When God created this world and we were in that dirt and the sea was already in us, that was just mind-blowing to me.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think about the body. And they laid down not knowing, and we know.
Right.
And it's just, that was just phenomenal. I've been thinking about that. I think it was last Sunday, and the song said, you know, something about the victory. How can you not have the victory when you know that? And it's just such a blessing to be here and hear this word in person. Yeah, when you're gone, you can listen to the tape, but there's nothing like being around the body, and you feel the love that's
Amen.
Here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you all just make me smile when I come in. It's just so much love in this body, and I wanted to get my words in today, too.
Amen.
Bless you,
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
more. I can't help but identify with this. This testimony's coming across. It just makes you just want to get out of yourself, you know?
Amen.
I really love this place.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for this place, this word, this ministry, I don't even know. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know where I'd be. And, you know, it's so important to get to the house because I need to give answers on a regular basis. Everything that happens to me in my work, it's all designed by the Lord. My footsteps are ordained to walk where I walk, to go where I go, to meet the people that I have to meet. And I got to have answers. And these answers, they're expecting to have these answers. If I don't show up here to get my answers, how can I give them what they need? You know? So, like, I was dealing with a customer, a potential customer, and we were doing a walkthrough and stuff, and he was just asking me for answers. And the thing was, the walkthrough was pretty complicated. It was just outside of my scope. I wasn't even going to lie to him. I told him, listen, this is beyond me. I got to get people in here that know what they're talking about. But I didn't want to promise you something that I couldn't, you know, perform. And I didn't want to just blow smoke, you know what I'm saying? Because if I don't know something, I'm not afraid to tell you I don't know it, you know? And that's what, I learned that from here, too, you know? If I don't know something, it's okay to say you don't know. But I'm going to know. Just give me a minute. So I said, I'll give you my answer after Sunday. Because I take this place serious, you know? Yeah. I got to get my answer. And I know I'm going to get my answer here, you know? Sure. And so, you know, the thing I love about eternity, eternal, being eternal, talking about the things that are eternal is that there's no end to it. Right, there's exactly, no beginning. Right. There's no end.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody in here preach and or testify and have to repeat themselves. Not one time. I've been here for 10 years. And right. I looked at that this morning. I'm like, wow. 10 years? It seemed like I only been here a year. But just like the sister said, just, you know, you know what he's done in a year for me. I mean, pastor said, he mentioned it. He said, the kids in here, they're light years ahead of any church. The children, you got to know there's something very supernatural going on here, you know, because it's really not us, you know. It's really not me because I'm playful in everything I do. You can't really take me too seriously, but this thing, don't take me lightly when it comes to this. But I just wanted to identify. I wanted to say I love this place. I love this message. Can't wait to hear what God's going to say to us.
Amen.
Brother Kevin?
I don't want to miss either. This is the last Sunday of the year, and I want to thank God for what he's done for me. You know, this place is very, very, very special to me, and I thank God for it. I don't want to take it for lightly at all. And you know, I appreciate Pastor Moore, Jeremiah, and Jay for giving us this word. I mean, this is, you know, it's beautiful to see these brothers give their all and, you know, give us this word because we wouldn't be as strong if it was strong if it wasn't for the ministry at all. And I don't want to take it lightly. I don't. I thank God for them every single day. I really do. I pray for them. I mean, I just think about my life. You know, whenever I'm going through a situation, I say, what does the word say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you all get into Molly Grubbs. I do too. I'll be thinking, like, why am I going through this? I'm like, okay. It's Satan. You got to recognize it. You know, this is Satan. Sure. You got to know. You got to know his tricks. You know, like, you know what I mean? Because before, when I was younger, like, you know what? Why am I going with this? God, just get, you know, you kind of get down and you'd be down for so long. But now I'm like, nah, it's Satan.
No,
I can recognize him. I know what it is. Yeah. But you know what? Satan, you still ain't got me. I'm still here.
Right,
I'm still here.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I thank God for that.
Yeah.
I thank God for that. Many people can't say that. They've walked away for whatever odd reason. Nah, you ain't walk away. I'm not walking away from this. I'm not. I can't. I kind of came too far.
Yeah.
We see what's going to happen. God's coming. God's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Right.
All we got to do is just rest. That's all we have to do. God's going to take care of what we got to take care of.
Right.
And I keep reminding myself, you know what? Just be patient. God's going to do it. And if God says it, that's it.
Amen.
That's it. You know, like I said, I just want to appreciate you, brother. I really do. I don't mean that just to be saying it. I love each one of you guys. And I just love the ministry. I thank God for you guys. Just, you know, giving your all and just, you know, I was thinking, you know, these people go, Brother Moore, Jay and Jeremiah, they have families.
Yes.
They struggle,
yes.
But you know what? Each Sunday and Wednesday, they come up and they give us the word.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if that's the least they can do, all I can do is just testify. That's all I can do. I can do. That's easy. Testifying is easy. That's easy. You want them to give their all? Well, what's your part? Do your all too.
Right.
If that's all I can do is testify, that's easy. I can testify every single Sunday and Wednesday. I just thank God for just giving me breath.
Yeah.
I just thank God for just waking me up this morning. Thank God for having a job.
Right.
It's that simple.
So,
thank God.
Hey, Brother Kevin.
Amen.
Kevin.
I wanted to get up and testify to this morning. I was
on the way to church last week, and I got really sick, and I didn't want Pastor Moore to think I wasn't listening, because I did listen last week, and he was talking about not feeling sorry for yourself, and you know, to pick yourself up and to have push, and that's true. I've been sick, you know, you guys have known for a while. I try not to complain about it. I try to put a smile on my face, you know. I try to, I know makeup and hair is not important, but I'm a cosmetologist, so I try to get put my face on every day, because I do believe that what I used to tell my students, if you're in the beauty industry, how can you make someone feel like they're going to be pretty if you don't even look pretty? I wouldn't trust you to sit in your chair. So I used to teach my students that. But, you know, I think about, because Kevin always tells me too, like, babe, why don't you relax? Why don't you lay down? Because, like, my arms hurt all the time, my knees, I got an illness. And I'm like, because I feel like there's things I need to get done. Like, yesterday we're having Christmas at my mom's house tonight, and she's in a wheelchair, and, you know, I had to wrap all her gifts that she had for the grandchildren and stuff, and my arms were hurting so bad. So Kevin was trying to hurt me, because you got to think, to do hair and nails for 30-some years, and you're constantly doing this movement, I have, like, I don't want you to think I'm not clapping in church either, because I have, I do have like a tennis elbow. I'd be over there like I'm dizzy, you know, Pastor Moore sees me sitting down. I know he doesn't see me clapping, so I try to tap so he knows that I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't ever want to be disrespectful. Just like I want him to always know that I've listened, just like I have tattoos, okay? I'm a very artsy person, but when I come to the Lord, it's not about my tattoos. It's not about, like, when I used to go to my kids' parent-teacher conferences, I used to always cover up that my tattoos, because I never wanted anybody to put on my children what they think about maybe me, or if I'm not representing my children well. But I just want to tell everybody, yes, it is important to push through. And like I said, I'm still battling my illness. I go to Ohio State February 1st, so I'm asking for prayers. And then the other thing to start my new year, I wanted to ask for prayers too. My daughter is going to be induced tomorrow at 7 p.m. So she's had and what was one thing I wanted to share that was funny, I was talking to her and her soon-to-be husband. I was talking to them, and I said, so the baby's coming now. You know, everything was laughing jokes. They were going to the casino and doing different things. And I said, yeah, I said, the baby's going to be here on Monday. Well, maybe Tuesday. But they both got real quiet. And I said, yeah, it's real now, isn't it? You know, you're going to be a mom. Like, my daughter's always wanted this, and she's been a lot for me. And I, like I said, I hope her baby is a good baby. You know, I want her first one. But, you know, my daughter was, you know, there's times that you do want to give up, but you can never give up. You can never give up on your children. I mean, you just can't. And I know that her name is going to be Lyric. I know she's going to be a blessing to my daughter. And then the one more thing I want to say, like I said, I never know when I'm going to get up here. I got a special gift from someone in the church. I don't want to put their business out there, but they gave me a blanket, and it really meant a lot. And I swear, I put that blanket on me that night. I wasn't feeling good, and all of a sudden, I felt better. Yeah. It was like the warmest blanket. And the other thing is, they didn't know my favorite color. But they asked, like, my favorite color is pink, but it's baby pink. I'm not a bright pink person. But they made it baby pink, and I never told them that my favorite color was baby pink. But I'm just very blessed to have this church. I don't want Pastor Moore to ever think when I'm not here, I'm not listening. And I never try to put a front on for nobody. I am who I am. This is who I am.
That's right.
And I'm one of those people, if you don't like me, you don't like me. Amen. If you do, great, you know. But I just wanted to start the new year and honestly thank this church, because I've never felt this way. Like I said, I grew up in a Catholic church. I mean, from the time I was born, my dad is a strong Catholic, just like our faith here is strong. So I've never had this kind of rest here. And I can talk to Pastor Moore about anything, and I do love that too. So I just want to thank you all and have a happy new year.
God bless you, Sister Sway. You can be seated. Amen. Rest your feet. It's good to be here this morning. I enjoyed the testimonies. This church really are believers. They're positive testimonies this morning. I ain't leaving. Satan can't get me. Hold the God's unchanging hand. That's the truth, though.
Yes.
And thank God that we've had the word preached to us to give us that understanding so that we can stand. And we'll be praying for you, Sister Sway, and your daughter. And that's what God's always taught us here. If you can't raise your hand all the way, raise it as far as you can. If you can't clap, just tap. And Amen. I remember Brother Maurice always say too, you know, if you're going to sell me a sweeper, I hope you have that sweeper. Because you're not convinced to sell.
Right.
If you're not convinced to have it for yourself, and why are you trying to sell it for me?
That's right.
But it's good to be here, and we want to slow down here for a minute and wish Pastor Moore a happy birthday. Amen. So let's give him. Amen. Firstly, I always like to thank him for preaching the word. That's his first job.
Yes.
Right. Is to preach the word and be a season, season out of season. He does that. And, you know, as far as the revelation goes and the information thereof, I haven't personally met a man I know has any more information. Amen. And not that it's a competition. I'm just thankful that we have that type of person around us that can preach the word and help us.
Yes.
And then, as we know, he's been a friend, a brother, a pastor. Sister Sweda said you can call and talk to him about anything if you need that help. And he's always given his time. So we thank you for that. So we want to wish him happy birthday. So I'm going to open the card here, and we'll read it here. So with appreciation for a special minister, the life-changing work of the ministry is powered by love, compassion, and servanthood. Your dedication to loving, serving, and being a light to a needy world is an inspiration.
Yes.
Thank you for all you do, and may God richly bless you. Yes. Happy birthday, Pastor Moore, on this special day. We want to let you know how much we love and respect you. You are an example to the body. Yes. As you often say, you never ask anything of us that you do not do yourself.
Amen.
You have made the word of God, keeping the truth pure, and sharing the word is your top priority. Yes. You truly have given your life. We pray that you know how much you have touched our lives and preached the revelation that has given us life, your forever-born body. Happy birthday, Brother Moore.
Beautiful.
And God bless. We're always a little selfish around here. You know, we've given him a computer so he can study for us. We've given him a tablet so he can use it to preach to us. But at the same time, we do appreciate everything you do. And all kidding aside, we've got a little gift for Men's Warehouse here so you can get you a nice suit.
Great.
And come and preach to us in it. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
That's beautiful. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one last song and get him up. We're going to sing page 160, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Warren.
I just want to thank God. I've been struggling with some things lately. And Brother Moore, I didn't really have to consult you. There's a still small voice in here that talks to me.
Amen.
And it opened my eyes to a few things that I didn't realize that where I was out. And I was praying, and right after I prayed, that voice, that still small voice, gave me the answer that I was looking for. I was like, thank God.
Amen.
And then just this morning again, I was thinking about something. I'm like, And this thought just popped into my mind. This is how you should do it. So I just thank God that, you know, we have a rest here. We do have a rest, but, you know, we get that because of that man there. And, you know, and he leads the two brothers, that Jeremiah and James, and they're right behind him. And I see God in all that, but, you know, you got to feed on it. I mean, you've got to take it in. You got to apply it to yourself. And, you know, I'm not saying every time I'm going to, you know, that still small voice is going to talk to me, but it does. And when it does, you know, I just thank God for that, because then, Brother Moore, the last thing I want to do is bother you. I'm kind of that way. I'm just selfish. And I just, I don't want to take up his time. So God talks to me, you know, and I am just so thankful that I can get answers too. And like I said, not all the time, you know, sometimes I may have to lean on somebody, but the you know, I'm feeding on that word, I'm applying that word. And yes, you know, God can, I mean, in his infinite wisdom, he can also give you answers that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that I'm waiting for is that, I had prayer for my left shoulder. That devil's a liar, and now both shoulders are bothering me. But you know what? That's just, the devil's a liar, and I just know that's just a manifestation of what it's going to be like for me to be healed. That's all. He's just trying to throw up a scarecrow.
That's all.
And it's all it is. But, you know, I've got so much word here.
Amen.
So that I know that I am going to be healed of this, yes. So that I can just carry on and raise my arms like I want to. Yeah. And so, Satan, you're a liar.
Right.
And I'm healed.
Amen.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Amen.
Amen. God bless, Brother Warren. A couple announcements. This is our last Sunday of the year. We got New Year's service coming up. So that starts at 6 is the food. 8 o'clock is the service start time. You know, we'd say around 8. There will not be service on Christmas Day or New Year's Day that Sunday. Those two Sundays, we're not having church those days. Today, after service, I need the voices for about 15, 20 minutes at the most. We want to make sure to put the finishing touches on the song that we got. So we're going to be doing that right after service. So after service, this is the reminder. Just come on up, and we'll get that done after service right after that. We're going to turn to page 160, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. I wanted to say I appreciate you, Pastor Moore. I heard the testimonies, and I appreciate the church putting together the card. I identify with that gift. I identify with that card. And, you know, I just, you know, as a it's email, you're going to get me crying. As a person, you're amazing.
Amen.
As a friend, you're amazing.
Amen.
As a pastor, you're amazing. As a leader, you're amazing. You're just amazing in all that you do. And sometimes I get sad for other people that don't get that benefit to be able to just trust in you and use you. I see people, they go through life and they'll go to Pastor Moore to see who I can get married. And then they get a spouse and then pull away. I see them say, oh, Lord, help me get a child, and they get a child, and then they pull away. They go, Pastor Moore, help me get a job, and they get a job, and then they pull away. Right. And I'm like, stay close to the source.
Amen. Right.
That's what got you what you wanted. Amen. That's what gave you the answers. That's what gave you the peace. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. The person that you leaned on when you needed him, that's what you need all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate you, Pastor Moore. Amen. I appreciate you being the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
Same.
Happy birthday, and we appreciate you.
Amen. Amen.
Page 160, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not an earth unmoved can stand. Unchanging hand, I'm gonna just hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm gonna just hold to God's unchanging hand. I will just be hold to God's unchanging hand.
Trust in him.
Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring.
One more song I want to sing before I get started. I don't sing as much as I used to because I got too many other things to do. But I do enjoy singing. I enjoy giving God the glory for all that He's done. So I'd like to sing. I come to the garden alone, where the dewdrops are still on a rose. I don't know what key that is. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I falling on my ear, the Son of God is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tell. Time. Oh, He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning so thankful that You walk with us, so thankful for that still small voice that talks to us, that tells us what to do, tells us what to stop doing, directs our path and where we should go, and keeps us from all harm and danger. And should I go down a path that's dangerous, Lord, You're right there with me, because You said You'd never leave me nor forsake me. Thank You for this congregation, Lord, for the work that You've done through this body here in this year. Now we come to the last Sunday, Lord, as far as I know, my last message till New Year's Eve. I ask You to continue to bless today as You've blessed all year long. Continue to walk with us, Lord. Thank You for being that solid rock that we can lean on. Thank You for being that solid rock that we can build on. Thank You for being that solid rock that we can drink from You've blessed us so much. And Lord, as we come to this part of the service, there's some that need a touch from you physically. Some that can't be here today. Andrew and the kids are sick at home. Ask you to send forth your word. Touch them even before the doctor can touch them. Others that have been down in body. Or like Sister Sway says, she's come. And sometimes she don't feel so well, but Lord, her heart's desire is to be here. Ask you to bless and touch her body. John and Don, who are faithful, who continue to stand, they need a touch. Sister Donna needs a touch. Don Parnell needs a touch. Trevor needs a touch. Lord, Brother George over in Africa needs a touch. There's many around this world that's depending on you. And Lord, as we've come to this part of the service, Lord, continue to walk with us. Continue to remind us of that great sacrifice that you paid. And it's already done for us. Thank you for all you've done. Bless this word as it goes forth this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. And thank you for the birthday gift. I know Jeremiah is pretty selfish with what he gives me. There's always a meaning behind it. So, but I appreciate it. I was actually planning on getting one. I was supposed to go with Jay, and we never made it. Sometimes life gets so busy you don't get to do what you need to do. And here we are now in the last 2 weeks of December. And I'm in that boat again that I am in every year, rushing around trying to get things done. I had originally thought to be away this weekend. And we were up in Chicago. And I wasn't sure when we were coming back, so I made plans otherwise to have the brothers take it this Sunday, but then they didn't let me know the plans because it was part of my birthday surprise. So it's hard to, for people to understand, I can't make plans if you try to surprise me. So I just, around this time of the year, I usually leave my birthday week open for Clarice because I never know what she wants to do, and she gives so much all year, me being away and taking trips and doing the things that I do, that I always, around my birthday, try to leave it pretty open. Well, they had it opened all the way from Thursday to Monday, and I thought, well, and then when I heard the part of the plans, I thought, well, we're coming back Saturday, then I can get to church on Sunday, because that's where I really want to be. So I told the brothers, I said, well, we're coming back so I can take Sunday service. And knowing that this is the last Sunday of the year, I always like service anyway, but this being a last opportunity to get to stand before you all, I wanted to take advantage of that. So I want to thank you all for a good year of all that you've done. And you think I've been a blessing to you? Y'all have been a blessing to me. And it's nothing better than I could ask for is to hear the body speaking back what they've learned. And that's what your testimonies do. I get to hear what God's doing for you. And it's important because if I do all that I do and it never has an effect on you and you never grow from it, then I haven't done my job. A teacher, if she teaches a class and when she's finished, everybody gets an F on the test. You can't say it's the students. Now, you might have one or two Fs in the class, but then you say, well, it wasn't my fault. But if we get to the end of the year and there's no spiritual growth in the body, I can't blame you for that. I said, Lord, help me. So to hear your testimonies, it's edifying to me to hear what God is doing for you and to hear you say, you know, I heard a still small voice and I listen to it. I hear God speaking to me and I follow it. I do what God wants me to do. That's all that I could ask for. And I appreciate that in the body. And as we come to the close of 2022, this year has been full. Yes, it has. And I see Brother Mike Covey's here. He and Brother Eric, they've been a big part of us having people in this year. And here we're coming to the close of 2022 and moving towards 2023. If you thought this year was something, next year will be even something more. So I appreciate that. I know Brother Eric has had some surgery, and he's been down. I texted him last Wednesday night to check on him, and he sent me a picture of him with a bowl of chicken noodle soup. So he's doing good. I hope he's doing all right. He's getting better. So keep him in your prayers. Remember Don Parnell in your prayers, because they actually took him back to the hospital down in Cincinnati. And I told Sister Patty I was leaving town, and once I got back, I'm going to make my way to wherever he is to check on him. There's, you know, we have real needs as believers. When you're molting, it's our job to take care of you. You know, we take care of you, because you know what? You might be down today, and I might be down tomorrow. So I pray that somebody does something for me when I'm down, and we'll take. That's why it's our job. And you know, sometimes the body they'll give their offering and they'll give their tithes and they'll come to church and they'll back it and support it. Then they're on top of the world. And but then sometimes the world turns upside down and the world's on top of them. And at that point, I would approach them, and a lot of times say, "Well, here, let this body help you here." And they almost want to say, "Oh, no, don't do that." Or, you know, "We're okay." It's like, no, you support the body. And you were there when we helped them. So the body's job is to help you. People don't understand that there's a benefit, not only in serving God, but being a part of a local assembly so that you're helpers one of another. And we do believe here in helping each other out. My obligation is first to the local assembly before I help foreign overseas brothers. And it's not that I won't help them. We just helped somebody yesterday overseas. But if we're not helpers of each other locally and take care of your own home, you know, how are you going to help somebody else's? So that's why, you know, your tithes and offerings are important. Not because I want your money. You ain't doing that. But if you do a little, and you do a little, and you do a little, and you do a little, when the body has a need, the body has it there to help. And so this is going to be an interesting year coming up, because I depend on God anyway, but leaving the workforce after, I guess it's been 7-8 years now that I've been out there working basically two jobs, this one and that one. Going back to just full-time pastor is going to be different for me, but I'm excited about it because it'll free me to be able to be available for you. And that's really all my life is about anyway. It's not even about careers, dollars, or whatever. It's about making yourself available for God. And as we move into this new year, I'm excited because I'm going to be like Pinocchio, no strings attached. You know, I won't have to go to work and report in to anybody on a certain day for a certain period of time. I could be able to be available more to help. That excites me. It's being able to be available to help God more and to be there for Him. And that's not only me, but it should be you too. You should feel excited about that, about your life. Like, oh, if we're going to do anything this year, like Brother Branham said at 53, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this guy had been around the world 7 times. He had talked to the angel, visited the angel, healed the sick, discernment, preached, restored the word, and he says, if I'm ever going to do anything, I better get started. And I think any real believer feels that way, because you can never do so much that you feel like you've done enough for God. As much as he's done for us, if I'm ever going to get started, and I feel that way at 63, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I better get started. And so I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store. Amen. So this is my last message, end of the year, Christmas time. You know, I got my Christmas message. I'm not going to butcher it this year. I always try to do a message with the season just to try to, you know, fit in, but it never works out. And I get off on a message of the hour and going off on my business, and I forget about Christmas and Christmas trees and all babies in a manger and all of that. So I'm an awful holiday preacher. I'm an awful holiday preacher, but it's been good. And I'm glad to be able to have us send this around the world. Now, Praveen told me the other day that there were over 100 YouTube people listening in, and that's just YouTube. So that's not even the live stream. So you think that, you know, nobody hears you. They hear your testimonies. They hear this message. They hear this. And that's not even counting the people who go back and get it after church, not live, but it's sitting out there. So I appreciate my, as Brother Brown call them, tape boys. We can call them tape boys, because we don't use tape no more. My CD boys or whatever, I don't know what you call them. Sound room guys, technicians, Joe and Praveen, they are amazing. And they always make it available. And if there's trouble, and there's always battles, they're back there fighting. And I think Jada's back there too, isn't she? She's doing the sound, the music that gets them. Is that Jada? I know she's in there somewhere. I don't know what she's doing. But I don't want to overlook Jada, because, you know, she's part of the tape guys, tape room too. I was thinking this morning, I said, now, you got to have some knowledge of something. It's really like a gift to be able to hear a song and find it and get the title and get the music and get it up there. That's, you know, so because I played something this morning and she put the words up. I guess it was her. Somebody. Okay, I knew somebody put that up as they had it, and I'm sitting there planning on the organ. Said, "Now, how did they know that? They have to know the song to be able to do that." And so I really appreciate all the efforts that go for it. You know, back in the olden days, and I call it that. In the olden days, we had books on the benches, and trying to keep the pages in, and trying to keep people with books. And I remember when I switched from the books to the overhead, I got all kind of flack from people. Nobody wanted to look at a projection screen. No, everybody wanted books. Nope, we don't like change. You know, man does not like to change. And I had to bring y'all forward, kicking and scratching. And the only one I let keep a book was Sister Spear. And I let her have her book because she was comfortable. She couldn't even read it. She just hold it and sing. But I took all the other books away, and it's called growth and movement. Jay was talking about growing and Wednesday night. And, you know, this body has grown in a year. And so I appreciate all that you all do. And as we move into the new year, I don't want to take anybody for granted. And I know with the upcoming New Year service, the younger people will be doing the kitchen meal and all that, and I appreciate that too. I appreciate it. See, it's not just me here, people. Don't think I'm just doing all this. I ain't doing nothing. You know, y'all are doing this. You keep the place running. You keep the place clean. I tried one time to put my name on a list to clean the church, and somebody scratched it out. I was insulted. But that's okay, because it's a body ministry, and I thank you for everybody and all that you do to keep this place together, and because it's us, all of us, getting this word out. It's not just me. When I first come here, Brother Childers was doing it all, and that's when I started trying to help him, because I didn't think it was right for him to do it all, and now you all are just, it's just humming along, so I really appreciate it. And I think Jay was right. It says people get enough God to get what they want, and then they disappear. And that's sad, but you know what? That's just a fact of life. That happens. I have people don't come here because of me. I have people don't come here because of you. So I have people don't come here because of themselves, you know, but that's okay. You know, it's like going through that sifter. Every year, God sifts. Some people fall through the cracks and they end up gone. You remember I always say at the end of the year, you know, I'm still here. And they're not still here. They won't be able to say that at the end of this year. And that's sad on their part. You know, Sister Courtney sang that song, I'm Still Holding On. They said I wouldn't make it. They thought you wouldn't make it. They thought this church would close up years ago. But you know what? All the churches that were trying to say that we were going to close, I don't even know if they're there. They're closed. And we just keep trucking along. We don't have a bunch of people. We don't have big name preachers. We don't have all this stuff, but that's okay. We just keep trucking along. Because you know what? We're pushing our way right to the rapture. And they might be looking at this snail and say he's not getting anywhere, but oh, Fairborn, just keep on walking because we're going to walk ourselves out of here. So I appreciate it. So for a few moments today, I got a thought that I want to talk on, and I've been thinking on for a couple of weeks. So turn with me over to well-known scripture, John chapter 3. And seeing that this is the Christmas season, I'm thankful that Jesus came. And it's not about December 25th, but I'm just thinking, it's a good reminder. It's like Mother's Day or like, you know, Father's Day. It's a good reminder to take a moment to just stop and say thank you. It's not the only day to do it. We don't celebrate the birth of Christ just because it's the day. We celebrate the birth of Christ every day. And I celebrate the birth of Christ in me because that's where it really makes a difference is when you and Christ are one, it makes all the difference in the world. The rest of the world, they don't understand how we keep hanging in there. They don't understand how we keep a smile when the world's falling apart. They don't understand these things, but we understand it as believers. So John chapter 3, verse 16, a well-known verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, I want to title this message this morning, No Greater Gift. It's the time of the year that we give gifts and we receive gifts, and y'all just gave me a gift. And it's a time of the year and everybody's in a better mood. Because, you know, Christmas is coming and the kids are excited about getting gifts and presents, and you know, and we're sharing gifts amongst ourselves. When Jesus was born, the three wise men, or the wise men, they say three, but they only say three because there was three gifts that they gave. They didn't say how many wise men it were. They said, really? Yeah, they didn't say three. They assumed three because he brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there could have been three, there could have been 50. Don't know. But they came bearing gifts, and they brought gifts to Jesus to celebrate the birth. And those gifts were evidence and signs of things to come. They weren't just like gifts. You know, they're like Jeremiah. They gave you a gift, but there was a reason behind it. Ain't gonna let that one down for a while. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh because, you know, it was talking about his death, talking about him being the king, talking about, so there were reasons behind the gifts. So when Jesus was born, there were gifts, but there was even greater gifts than that given. And God so loved the world that he gave a gift. And that's the gift I want to talk a little bit about today, because that gift is a gift that took precedence over all other gifts. You know, when God gave something, you know, it did something. Sometimes we give gifts, we give a $1.99 gift, and we think we've done something, and first thing it does is go in the trash when everybody leaves, because it's like, I can't use that. So sometimes we get these little trinkets and gifts that you can't even use, and everybody thinks they're gifts. But when God gives something, he gives something that you can use. Amen. And God gave the greatest gift there was in giving us Jesus Christ, because there was no other gift that would be acceptable to him that could take care of all of our sins. Amen. See, people don't even understand why Jesus came. They really don't. You ask the nominal church person why Jesus came, and what they'll say is Jesus came to die for our sin. Right. Okay, that's good. But you haven't said nothing. Jesus came because he was God's gift, God's son to the world. Okay? But why? What was the gift? What was it? You see, when you get a gift, it should be something you can use. Right. It should be something that can produce something. So when God gave a gift, he gave us something that we needed. Right. He gave us something that we didn't have. Right. See, we didn't just come here because we had it. We come here because we didn't have it. Right. And God gave us a gift because he knew that there was no way that man could get back in fellowship with God without that gift.
That's right. Amen.
We were sold in sin. Yes. We were locked up. Yes. No way to get around it.
That's right.
No way for us to be saved. Uh-huh. We were destined to go to hell.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
You say, I'm a good liver. You were hell bound.
Yes.
You say, I got a good life. You were hell bound.
Yes.
You say, I give God all I have. I give my body to be burned. You were hell bound. But God had to make a way to get us from hell to heaven.
Amen.
He had to supply us something.
Amen.
Something that was outside of ourselves.
Right.
Something that was outside of mankind. Man couldn't save himself. Man wasn't good enough. Man wasn't holy enough. I always get tickled when I see people are self-righteous and they think they're going to give you something for God to take and use. God doesn't need your holiness. God doesn't need your goodness. When people think they're living so good, you're fooling yourself. Because the best that you could do is filthy rags. You couldn't make it on your gift. You couldn't make it on what you said, well, I'm going to buy my way in. You didn't even have enough to buy this thing. But God so loved.
Yes.
See, there's a lot in this.
Amen.
God did love. God loved somebody.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God hated somebody.
Yeah.
Jacob and Esau, for example. He loved one and hated the other. So number one, if God doesn't love you, you don't get the gift.
That's right.
I don't give gifts to people I don't love. You don't either.
That's the way it is.
I'm not responsible for your Christmas. There's some people at work, I ain't giving them nothing. They're not even getting a card. I'm not worried about their Christmas. But my family that I love, I want to make sure they're taken care of. I want to make sure they're happy. See, Jesus come because he was the gift that God had, because God loves you.
Amen.
I thank God he loved me.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And when people look at that scripture and say God so loved the world, they're thinking they're talking about them. He's not talking about them.
No.
Remember, like Melanie said, our bodies came out of the earth.
Yeah.
We're part of that world. God loved us.
Yeah.
We come from him. We're part of him.
Right.
We're part of the earth. He loved that earth.
Amen.
But he doesn't love this world cosmos.
Wow.
He hates that.
Amen.
It grieved God at one point when he got to know that it even made man.
That's
Like, what in the world? This is a mess. But there was somebody that God loved. Noah found grace. See, when you find that God loves you, that's grace. That's not your works. That's not your doing. You say, well, if God loves me, that's why we love him. You do for God because God did for you. Amen. We're not trying to bribe. We're not bribing our way into heaven. Amen. We come from heaven. That's right. We're not trying to get in heaven. No. We're going back to where we came from. Yes. We were part of God. And that's the part that God loved. God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah. When you love somebody, you're going to give something. Yeah. See, if you love your wife, you give of yourself to her. Right. If she loves you, she gives of herself to you. Right. If you love your kids, you'll give and sacrifice for your kids when you won't even do it for yourself. Right. When you love somebody, you'll give to them. I like what Jay said Wednesday night. He said, when loving and sharing is giving your part. Right. That means it's something that was a part of you. Right. Yeah. Something that you really wanted yourself. A sacrifice isn't a sacrifice. I got three cars and I give Jeremiah one. Yeah. It didn't even hurt me. No. Sacrifice, if I got one and I give it to him. Amen. And I'm walking and he's riding. Yeah. See, that's a gift. Right. Love is becoming a footstool. You know my poem. Yeah. Love is becoming a footstool that others might reach higher. Yeah. Amen. You give of yourself because God gave of himself. Amen. Amen. God so loved that he gave. You should so love that you give. Amen. Shouldn't have to get it pride out of you. If you love this thing, amen. If you really love this thing, amen. It becomes your life. Amen. It's not something you just hang on to, you get what you want, and then all of a sudden you're gone. You give it all you've got. Matter of fact, you give it and not look for nothing in return. That's love. Amen. A husband doesn't give his wife something and say, okay, now here's a, honey, here's some flowers. And where's my money card for Cracker Barrel? That ain't love. Love is giving and not looking for nothing in return. Love is taking what you have and giving it. Giving, as Jay said Wednesday night, giving your part. Amen. That's the only time it's effective. Right. When you give from your heart, you'll give something that means something to you. Uh-huh. Right. I don't like just giving trinkets. Yeah. I don't want it anyway. I'll go dig in my drawer and I'm going to find Jeremiah a Christmas present. So I'll dig in my drawer. Oh, there's some old socks I've never worn. Wrap it up and hand it to him. He might be happy, but it wasn't out of the love of my heart. God didn't just throw anything at us. No. He gave the best thing that he had. Amen. Couldn't have given us any better. No. If it had an angel wouldn't have been enough. That's right. The stars, the sun, the earth, not enough. But he gave of himself. He gave of his very life. Look at Abraham. Amen. When Abraham and Isaac went up there on the mountain to sacrifice to the Lord, God told Abraham, I'm going to give you. Do you know Abraham was typing God? God loves it when he gets himself typed. He told Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son. Take him up there, and I'm going to sacrifice him. Abraham took Isaac up there knowing that God already promised him that he was going to be the father of nations. So I don't know how it's going to work. It's looking pretty dim right now. I'm taking my only son up here on the mountainside, and God told me to kill him. He must be planning on raising him up from the dead or giving me another seed. Something's got to happen. So he took him up there, but God was wanting to use him as a type to show how much it meant to God to give his only begotten son. Amen. It wasn't just so, oh, I'm going to speak Jesus into existence and he's going to go and do this. No, God loved him. Amen. He was Christ. Christ was God in skin. It was a little bit of himself. When you give of yourself, that means something. Means something when you give your kidney.
Come on.
The old story about the chicken and the pig. Big difference between those two. Chicken will lay an egg. going about his business. Didn't mean nothing. Didn't. I can get another one of those. I'll lay another one tomorrow. He ain't worried about it. Matter of fact, I don't look back. He cuts, I get off that egg and cluck and going across the field. Because we used to have to go hunt them down at my grandmother's. She'd go, find that egg. It's out there in the field, so when chicken long gone. But a pig, for you to have bacon, he got to give something. Something dear to him. Something that's going to cost him. When the pig finished giving, there ain't nothing left. He gives his very life. Some Christians are like chickens. They have enough God to come to church. They have enough God to say Jesus died for their sins. But when it comes to giving, they might give a little bit. It ain't going to hurt them. You know, it ain't going to cut into their pocketbook. But then some Christians are like the pig. No offense needed here. No offense, but they're like the pig, and that's a good thing. Because the pig comes and says, Lord, here I am. Take my life, whatever you want to make it. If you need me to sing, testify, preach, clean the bathroom, I'll clean the toilet, sweep the parking lot, put salt out, come early, stay late. Whatever you need, Lord, here I am. My life is yours. That ain't a chicken. It's costing them. It's costing their time. It costs their money. It costs their own self. And they give of themselves that somebody else can benefit. You're benefiting this morning because somebody else cleaned the church for you. You know that napkin you dropped on the floor Wednesday night and didn't pick it up when you left? It didn't miraculously disappear. But it ain't there today. Look under your seat. It's gone. Somebody paid for that. And God paid for us to be redeemed. He gave the greatest gift he could give us. He so loved you that he cut a piece of himself off and sent it down here knowing that outside of him paying the price himself, there's no way back for us. You think that Jesus was just the Son of God? He did the role of the Son of God, and that sonship was a role because God wanted to show the difference between Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David, but that was God himself. Amen. It wasn't the second person. It wasn't the third person. It was the person. Yeah. God gave of himself that we could be brought back to someplace that we didn't even know about.
Amen.
We get confused sometime with our Trinitarian thinking that God gave his son. I didn't give you Michael. I come and gave you myself. God came himself. Amen. He put himself, he robed himself in skin. Amen. He put himself in that barn. He put himself through life. He put himself through all the problems and troubles. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. God suffered.
Yes. Amen.
He wanted to be able to understand how it feels to be down. How it feels to be lonely. How it feels to be hungry. God himself did that. It wasn't some second person. People talk about the birth of Jesus and they're thinking that's somebody other than God himself. They're one. Jesus was a manifestation of God.
Amen.
When God gave Jesus, God gave him himself.
Amen.
No greater gift. I can't give you any greater gift than to give of myself. If I give you my heart and do a heart transplant, I have to be dead. When you start taking parts off my body, that's a cost. God took a part of himself and sent it down here because we were all going to hell. No place else to go. That's why he put the chasm between the his seed and serpent seed. He put a chasm in hell because he didn't want his children to be mixed up with those devils. Churchwell don't even know that. They don't know why Jesus came. They say he came to die for your sins. Do you realize unless he came, none of us even had a place to go besides hell?
Amen. That's right.
We were all going to hell. Jesus, when he came out of hell, when he kicked the door down, took the keys from the devil, because the devil had the keys, all of us. But Jesus went down there and said, I'm taking mine out of here. My children will not live like this. And you know what? Paradise wasn't as bad as hell. But it still wasn't good enough. God totally moved our place of rest out of hell and put us in a sixth dimension. But in order for that to happen, for that move to happen, God had to give.
Amen.
No man was worthy. You are not worthy. That's why I don't like it when people think they're good livers. I can't stand good livers. You say, that's an awful thing to say. The reason I say that is because when you think you're a good liver, you think you got something to give to God. Jesus said, there's none good but God.
Amen.
Now, if I hear you talking like that, I'll say amen. But when you think you're going to bring your filthy rags and wash my car?
Right.
Have you ever washed a car with a filthy rag?
Oh my goodness.
All you do is smear the dirt. Have you mopped the floor with a dirty mop? All you do is smear the dirt. When you think you're so good that you're good enough to go to heaven, you're just smearing your dirt and God don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen.
The best you could do is filthy rags.
Right.
He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him, there you go. Not everybody can believe.
Right.
I'm sorry, but everybody that goes to church don't believe.
Right.
You wonder why they leave? They don't believe.
Right.
You got to say it. We don't want to say it because we want to, you know, they're my friend. They're my buddy. They're my family. We love them. They don't believe. Whosoever believeth will be where the body is. So that's not necessarily true. Yeah, no, that is necessarily true. You can powder it up. You can paint it up all you want. If you believe that God gave his life for you, then you turn around and give your life back to him.
Amen.
That's how simple that is. If you believe that, then you won't perish, but have everlasting life already.
Amen.
The proof that you have everlasting life is that you believe. If you believe that God gave, if you really believe that, then you'll turn around and give him your life. I mean, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not a lot of things that we have to do. Lord, here I am. You gave for me down here. Take my life and live it for you. You say, but I don't know about all of this. I'm new here. I'm just learning. I'm just listening. You know what? All it takes is one service. All it takes is one service for you to give. Just give. Just give up. Just let him have it. Quit trying to figure. You are not going to figure this message out.
No.
You're not. You have to take it for what it is. You have to believe that he died for you. You have to believe that this is the word of God. You have to believe that God's called you. You have to believe that God's talking to you.
Right.
See, I'm not trying to tell you God's talking to me. I know God talks to me. My job is to get you to realize that God's talking to you.
Right.
And if you can ever realize that God's talking to you, then you'll die to yourself. You'll lay stuff down. You say, well, I'm not where I need to be. Neither am I.
If we were where we needed to be, we'd be glorified. We're going that direction. I'm not there yet, but he gave, and I believe he gave, and until I get there, I'm going to believe it. It's not hard to be a Christian. Just had to lay your life down. Lay your thinking down. Just believe God. I believe that God died for my sin. I believe that Jesus went to the cross for me. I believe that he came back and the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in me. I believe that. I based my life on that. God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that we might be saved through him. The only way back is through Jesus. I think a lot of times people forget that, especially in this message. We get so caught in the message and the prophet that we forget that Jesus died for our sins. Amen. That's it. Amen. It's that simple. We get caught up in the books and the tapes and got this and got that and that. And we get so bogged down with so much stuff that we forget the simple truth that Jesus Christ and him crucified died. That's all we should know. That's all we need to know.
That's it.
Oh, we look at each other. We measure each one of us by each other. And you're short because you don't do what I do. And I'm short because I don't do what you do. You don't dress like I want you to. You don't talk like I want you to. You're not meeting this criteria, and you're not meeting this criteria. And we fight and fuss. And Jesus standing there like, but I paid for that. But I paid for that. But I paid for that. People don't really even believe that he paid for it. Worst people in the world are Christians.
I know that. You're right. You are right.
Jesus paid the price, and we don't believe it.
Come on.
What can you possibly do to unpay what Jesus paid? Name it. My Bible tells me that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. No height nor depth.
Amen.
Nothing. If it's nothing, it's nothing. And if it's nothing, keep your filthy hands off of me. When you start judging each other by each other, you're never going to get it right because none of us are right. It's the blood of Jesus Christ or nothing. God so loved the world that he gave that blood to pay the price that we had, that we couldn't pay. He did what we couldn't do. He was the greatest gift.
Amen.
Better than a house. Better than a car. Better than a wife. Better than kids.
Amen.
Okay. Let's read a little bit further because I see that I didn't finish. He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Amen.
I don't care what you say.
Preach.
I don't care what I say. I don't care what anybody says.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
That's right.
To whom?
Amen.
Those are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. People are always thinking we're trying to push bad living. I'm not pushing bad living. I'm pushing living.
Yeah.
Live and let God use you. But I know in the process, I'm not going to condemn you every turn you take.
No.
Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful to God that you believe. I'm thankful to God that you're here. I'm thankful to God that you're listening to the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for the Word of God coming forth, you would not even change.
Amen.
People get so holy that they push people out of church. Because they have problems. Like you don't have problems. See, that's why I don't go along with that. It's like, now I know you got problems. Are you still breathing? If you're still breathing, you got problems. If you're still breathing, you're short. So why are you going to condemn your brother who is trying to come to the house of God to hear the word of God? And you're going to kick him out because he got problems. And fill in whatever blank you want with whatever problem you want.
Come on, Lord.
I know you're right.
Oh, Lord.
They wouldn't even let the little woman in there to wash Jesus' feet. They were condemning her as she walked. The whole time she walked in there, like, if Jesus only knew how bad she was. See, that's what we do. We get in church. Mm. If y'all only knew how bad Mike was. But it isn't even that. You should be thanking God that they walked in the door.
Amen.
You can't even get help. If you can't get under the word, you can't even get help.
Amen.
I think we got it all mixed up. We're trying to get people cleaned up, that pig cleaned up, and put a bow on him and put him out, take him out of the pig pen. If the nature doesn't change, he's still a pig.
Right.
Leave him alone. Get him under the word and let the nature change.
Amen.
Right. Only thing that'll work.
Right.
If it doesn't change the nature, all you got is a clean pig.
Right.
And as long as you keep the law on him, the leash on him, the chain on him, keep him locked in the house, as long as you keep... See, that's why I don't put a bunch of law on y'all. Because I figured if it's in you, it's going to come out. Whatever, I'd rather see really what's in you.
Right.
And then if you let them be who they are, when the word comes forth, the word can help you. And if God wants to change you, he'll change you. If God doesn't change you, I don't need to change you.
Amen.
And we don't need to change each other.
Amen.
We don't need to try to put our hands on each other, try to force each other. Oh, you got to cut your hair like mine. Oh, you got to do this like me. Oh, you know, leave him alone. When God gets through with him, if God wants the hair cut, God will cut it. If God don't want the hair to cut and let it grow, God will tell him, let it grow. Leave him alone. Let him come under the word. Because this is what the Son paid for. That greatest gift come to pay the price for us all. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, whether you feel like it or not. Some people are condemned and don't feel like it. They think they're looking pretty good. They're feeling pretty good. They're living pretty good. They're good livers. You know, we had a lot of good livers leave here. Songwriters, preachers, and everything else. A lot of good people. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You didn't believe what you've heard. My problem with you is when you stop believing. If you see, I got a switch. I got a switch that turns on and off. I'll be your buddy. I'll be your friend. I'll talk to you. I'll preach to you. I'll take care of you. You deny the word. You'll see a side of me that you didn't even know existed. You're like, whoa, but I thought you loved me. I love the word more than I love you. But I thought you my friend until you broke the word. I'll still be your friend, but I can't walk with you like that. I can't step out of the word because you're an unbeliever. Why are you calling me an unbeliever? Because you're acting like it. Why don't you call me a believer? Then start believing. You say, you're fickle. No, as long as you believe, I'm with you. When you stop believing, I got to leave you alone. If you come back and start believing again, I'll be your brother. That's why I said people that leave the church and they come back, I don't need to know where you've been. I don't need to know what you've been through. I don't need to know what whole rabbit hole you went down. All I know is you're back here. Now that you're back in the house, sit down, get your fork, and eat. I don't care where you've been. I just thank God that you made it back. The prodigal son, when he went out, he left his father, got his inheritance, went out and lived it up, danced the jig and everything else. And after he spent all his money, was used by the world and beat up and knocked around, he come right back to where he came from. What did his father do? Throw him out again? Where you been, son? You got any money left? How much you got left? Give me that. Give me the rent. Wait, what are you into? He did not care. He said, I'm going to throw you a... You thought you had a party out there. We're going to throw a party with people that love you.
That's right.
And he... killed the fatted calf. He did all the things. He made him feel so welcome that his brother got jealous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Why'd the pastor take him out to dinner? He ain't been to church in 6 months. And the first day he comes back, pastor take him to dinner. Why is he shaking his hand? He ain't even a believer. He ain't been to church in 2 years. Why the pastor spend time with him? Why? Father told him, said, son, everything I have is yours. But my son who walked away and has come back again, I want to rejoice in that. I rejoice when somebody comes back to church that's been sitting out for a while. Oh, I watch y'all. I watch y'all pop in and out. You didn't think I noticed. I notice. I know when you're not here. I notice when you disappear. I notice when you come tipping back in. Sliding in that seat. Keeping your head down. Don't look me in the eye. But I'm happy you're back.
Amen.
That's it. And people don't understand it because they think when you come back to church, we got to have this big old repentance section and everybody got to flog you and we got to know all the details of who was she and how long did y'all shack together and oh, it's all this and that and get all this juicy information because, you know, Christians have to have that confession. You got to fully tell me it all. Tell me everything. I think y'all just nosy.
Amen.
Dirt travels much faster than good news. That's why I don't tell y'all a lot of stuff I get involved with. I won't say the details, but Brother Don come over to see me the other day, last week I think it was, we spent the evening together, and I'm just like me. I'm like, well, if you come to me, whatever I get into, you get into. We end up down at the city jail.
Right.
Huh? Oh, I didn't take him to jail. I was going myself down there for a reason, and he came over, and I thought, well, you just got to go with me. He's like, okay. But the thing is, you know, now everybody's looking around and say, who's missing?
No.
See, y'all nosy. Who's in jail? No, it's not Eric. Who is? See, that's us. That's human nature. But the thing is, when you realize that all of us are sinners saved by grace,
amen.
Sometimes we got to pull y'all out of some bad places. Sure. Sometimes I got to get myself out of bad places.
Amen.
And then you're sitting up there acting all holy, looking down your nose, acting like you're so righteous. You're just a filthy rag just like me.
Amen.
There ain't no difference. I'd pull some people out of jail. I'd pull people out of here. I'd pull them out of there.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
I'll dust you off.
Yeah.
And I'll bring you back to church. And nobody knows the difference.
That's right.
And you come in here. Okay. Just keep believing. I've had them come in here drunk.
Right.
You say, that's awful. You should throw them out. If they hear 3 or 4 or 5 words of God,
yeah.
It's worth it.
Right.
I've had them come in here in the pants.
Yeah.
Some churches kick them out. Oh, got their pants on. I'd rather you come in here in those and hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Let God get in you and then he can do what he wants with you.
Yeah.
We got it so messed up. We're trying to convert people before they're even a convertible.
Right.
Trying to pull the top off. You don't even know if it's a convertible. I try to get people to the house.
Amen.
Oh, Crystal come for years. And she was left hanging around for a long time. But one day she got bit. She heard one message too many. And she turned like that. And Warren's like, woo. I can say that about Crystal because she said it. After y'all testified, I let everybody know, I know. But keep coming. You're never going to get the gift that God has for you unless you get to the house of God. But once you get here, let him work you over. Let him stop. Let him start. Let him pull. Let him push. Let him do what he wants. Let him mold you into what he wants you to be. Because only God knows what he wants out of you. I don't even know what he wants out of you. Some of you are preachers. Some of you are singers. Some of you are testifiers. Some of you just come to clean the church. Whatever you want, Lord. I'm flexible. Open your hands. Let him have it. He gave, so why don't you give?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen, Lord.
And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light on. They don't want the truth. They want their church form of godliness, but denying the power. I'd rather have y'all get up and testify. That thrills me. I was looking today. We had young get up, had older get up, had the middle get up. We had all sizes, all ages, all colors, everybody just getting up. I'm like, well, I wouldn't run my church like that. But then don't. I don't care. I never have been a good person, I guess. I'd rather hear you tell what God's done for you than me get up here and tell you what God can do for you.
Amen.
And if it's getting into the body, where else do you want it?
Come on.
You don't come here to hear me monologue you for 2 hours. You come to talk about what God's doing for you.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
How fitting that is in John 3:16, when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, the Prince of Life, come here, didn't have to die. He conquered death himself and poured his own life's blood out on the ground, amen, as an offering for our sin. He's our smitten rock. Upon the ground, his precious God-given blood, he gave. You have trouble giving 10%. I'm just saying, I don't know. Because like I said, I don't know what y'all do with offering. John knows. John knows all things. But I don't know. Because I don't care. It's not my job to worry about that. It's not my job to make sure you pay your tithes and offerings. He said, why are you talking about that? We're talking about giving, aren't we? It just sort of slid in there. It's not in my notes. I'm just thinking. I said, you know, it's not left up to me whether you give your tithes and offering or not. I don't care. How does a man rob God? God, not me, not Nate. You are robbing God. You're not robbing Nate. You're not giving. He gave everything. You won't even get 10%.
Amen.
Now I know there's some people that have situations and they come to me. They say, oh, Brother Moore, you know, I'm in a tight spot. I got that. I got this. I say, oh, pay your bill. But if I do that, I can't give my 10%. See, a lot of churches, a lot of people say, well, give you 10% first and then God will give it back to you. I say, pay while you got it. You know, God knows your heart. See, it's your heart. It's not your percentage. It's not your 10%. God ain't hard up for your 10%.
That's right.
Sound like your heart's right. You want to do the right thing. But you're in a tight spot. What do you do in these foreign countries that they don't have jobs? They don't have 10% of much of nothing. So God is not worried about your 10%. He's got enough fish that if he needs money, he can get it. But he wants your heart. He wants you to give like he did. See, the thing is, when Jesus comes inside of you, that same giving spirit that came from God, that went into Jesus, comes into you. Because it's the same nature. It's the same God. The same God that gave into Christ is the same God that gives into you. And then as tight-wad as you have been, for some reason, you get a heart.
How about that?
You start being concerned about your brother. You start being concerned about your... What are you laughing for, Judy? You start being concerned about your sister. Steve, well, you're pointing to Steve. In your heart, Steve. God gets in there. And when he gets in there, it changes you to where you were mean and evil and didn't want to do. You turn around and you decide that I want to give. I want to help. When you're sitting in this church and you're looking at the body and the body has needs, the love of God in you will make you give to that.
Amen.
And it won't be forced. I won't have to hold your hostage. I went to a church one time. I was so mad. I was so mad. I think that was about the first time I ever got mad in church. It wasn't a message. It was I was in an apostolic church. And I think it was on a New Year's or so. I forget. It must have been a New Year's service. And they said, I want all the marrieds, all the sisters to stand up. And all the sisters stood up. And they said, now, for every sister that stood up, you got to give $20 or more to have them sit down. I thought, that is just glorified prostitution. I thought, everybody wanted to get the pastor. So it was so many levels there. Everybody wanted to pay for the pastor's wife because, you know, she's the first lady. And they had wanted to get in good with her because, you know, they wanted to her to know that they like her. So they bought the pastor's wife. And then they bought the organ player. Then they bought the preacher's wives. And I'm sitting there looking at this hierarchy. And I was getting madder and madder and madder. I was sitting there because, you know, eventually the sisters that the church people don't like, you know what they were doing? Standing up. And it was embarrassing to them because nobody would buy them. I was livid. I felt like I should have had a whip and just go through that. I was so mad. That's about the maddest I've ever been in the house of God. I thought, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And that's church people. And here you get these sisters standing up there. And then finally you get these pity cases where people give the money for the sisters that couldn't get. They're standing up 15, 20 minutes. I mean, this went on for a long time. They're standing up 15, 20 minutes. And finally people felt sorry for them and bought them. I was so mad. I thought, God, if I ever get out of this place in one piece. I understood how Jesus felt in the temple because I was so mad. But they got all these gimmicks and they got all these things to try to get you to serve and save money and pay for the church and pay for all this stuff. And if it's not in your heart, keep it.
Right. Amen.
Because if it's not in your heart, he didn't give to you.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's right. I mean, now start checking yourself. See, how willing am I to give?
Right.
What spirit is in here? Do I have a giving heart? Or am I just stuck on myself? Do I give like God gave?
Right.
Do I have my limits? Do I have my price top, the tops of my life? I'll give $10. Don't you ask me for
$75.
How much do you give? And I ain't talking money here now. I switched on y'all. Don't stay. Don't keep focusing on the tithes and offering. I've already moved again. How much do you give? What is your life consisting of?
Amen.
See, if God so loved that he gave, if Jesus so loved that he gave, what in the world should you do?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen.
What kind of life should it produce out of you?
Right.
If the spirit of John Dillinger was in you, you would shoot guns.
Amen.
If the spirit of Christ is in you, you should give.
Amen.
Oh, I got scripture. Don't make me pull them.
Amen.
John chapter 15, verse 12. See, you didn't realize this gift giving doesn't just stop with God. It started there, but it ends in you. What's your greatest gift? John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. So that gift should be moving from Jesus to you. As I have loved you. Oh, if that was his spirit and his nature, if he's in you, it should become your spirit and your nature. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If that spirit of God that gave moved into Jesus and he gave and it moves into you, what should you do?
Amen.
You need to have a little patience with your brother and your sister who's struggling with something. You need to have a little love for somebody that has need in the body. You should be available for God to use you as you want God to be available to help you. We forget that we have the same Spirit of God.
Yeah.
We forget that the giving doesn't stop with Jesus. Oh, that was a great gift, yeah. But that gift should have moved into you, right. That you're willing. That's why Christians get along like they do. We don't get along because we like each other the same and everything's the same. We get along because we give. I give you space.
Right.
I can't stand what Jeremiah does, but I give him space.
Right.
I give him room. And by me giving him room, and he can't stand me in many areas of my life, but he gives me room, and we give each other just enough room to love each other.
Amen.
Church people don't come together like we do because we love each other so great. We love each other because God first loved us.
Amen.
And if he loved us, we love one another.
That's right.
Amen.
We should always feel that way to one another. See, we must feel that way to one another. See, because as we love one another, we love God.
Amen.
How are you going to love God when you're cutting your brother off? How are you going to love God when you're cutting your sister down?
Amen.
But I thought you were talking about the greatest gift. Can't you get back on that? I'm there. I'm trying to show you the greatest gift should be in you.
Amen.
The same way he gave, he gives to you, because who is living in you but the same one that gave the first place?
Amen.
Woo, come on now.
Because as we love one another, we love God. Can you hate your brother who you have seen and say you love God who you have not seen? See, that same love that God had for Christ, the same love that Christ had for us, it's the same love that we should have for one another.
Yeah. Amen.
And say you love God who you have not seen. We must love one another. Greater love hath no man than that he should lay down his life for it. Listen to what Brother Branham said. I thought this was interesting. Greater love hath no man than he than no man than he lay down his life for his enemy, that they might become his friends. Oh. They don't start as your friend. The Bible tells you I got to love my enemies.
Right.
No, we have a hard time loving our friends. Let somebody talk about you. That's what I always do. Whenever somebody gets on me, you know, people get on me. And I have people love me that when they hear about what somebody's done, they're like, where they at? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Leave him alone. Remember that tax collector that Brother Branham had calling his house. And he got mad because they got mad because the tax collector, Brother Branham, had taken a check and put it in the bank, and he had already gotten a tax trouble. And he had gotten this other check, and he checked with his lawyer, and everybody else said, "Can I cash it? Can I cash it?" Everybody said, "Cash it." He put that money in the bank, and right away the tax collector called him up. And his friends that were standing around got mad. So that old tax collector, Brother Brown, said, leave him alone. God told him to do that.
Amen.
Remember David.
Right.
Am I going to let that man live, keep his head that spit on my king? He went up and he spit on David. David got to a point that he lost it all. And they were talking about him. They took his kingdom, and he's lost all this and he's lost all that. And then this old uncircumcised guy come up and spit on David. Spit on him.
Right.
And David's soldier said, will I let that man keep his head? Or will I let him live? Or whatever he said. And David said, leave him alone.
God told him to do it. You know what? Because David was typing Christ. David wouldn't be the last king that was spit on. But we have a hard time loving our enemies. I've had them. I've had enemies. I've had people try to dog me. I've had them try to tear me down. I've had them try to take me down. I've had them try to take my church. I've had them try to take my congregation. And I've had my congregation like we're in a rear. I had a brother one time. They were just shooting emails and saying all kind of men are evil against us and the church and me. And they were shooting all these emails back and forth. And the brother's like, why don't you get on the emails and defend yourself? Nate, you got to get on there. Pastor, you got to do this. You got to do that. I said, no, I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to, you know, just because they're going to be evil don't mean I have to be evil. You know, don't render evil for evil. Amen. And his brother got on there, and he was out there trying to defend me. I chewed him out. I said, if you don't see me getting on the internet and defending myself, don't you get ahead of me and say a word. He got mad and left the church. I don't care. Truth is truth. It's like, I got to rebuke you. I mean, I'm sorry. I got to do my job. If you're not going to do yours, I got to do mine. I said, don't do that because that's not what we're about. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to defend this message. God takes care of us. I told God when I had the church split, I said, God, if you let this man get away with this, then that's on you. I don't know when or where or how he's going to pay, but he will pay because your word says, touch not my anointed. And I know I'm one of them. So if I'm one of the anointed and you let him get away with that, that's you breaking your own word. A lot of us want to figure out, okay, how's he going to do it? How's he going to pay? God, I got to know when he pays. I don't even care when, how, where, but I just know God's word's true. You touch me, and you're in trouble. And it won't be me having to run you down to beat you. Remember that Elijah, when the prophet went through the woods and the kids come out of the woods, they called him old bald head. Elijah? They called him old bald head, and they were making fun of him. He didn't go beat him with a stick. He didn't go there and get a switch, and I'm going to, no. He just went on about his business. And she-bear came out of the woods and devoured him. You don't have to take care of yourself. You just do what God's telling you to do and let God worry about the details. I don't know how people pay when they mess with me, but I do know they do. I don't have to keep a track record and try to figure out how they pay. Oh, their eyes went crossed. Oh, their ears went. No, I don't need to know. I don't care. I just know I'm God's anointed. That's one thing I do know. Touch me if you want to. Mess with me if you think you can get away with it. I won't even follow you home to beat you. But Brother Brown said, love your enemies that they may become your friends. I've had people that have been my enemies and now they're my friends. Why? Because I didn't render evil for evil. I love them when they stop loving me. You know, when these people leave the church, I don't stop loving them. When they see me, I don't roll my eyes and act like, I ain't talking to you. I don't avoid nobody. I think when he was young, he had somebody, I think he was working at a store, somebody, a cash register. And sister come in, had left our church. And I think, I hope you don't mind me saying this, I'm not telling details to Kevin. But Kevin come and talked to me. And he asked me, he says, you know, I saw this sister, she came in, and he's like, you know, he was just trying to see how he should feel. I said, Kevin, look, you are fine. You didn't leave the church. You don't have nothing to explain. Hold your head up. Be a Christian and let them dodge you in the store because they're the ones who left the word. When you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about them. You'll see them all over the place. They always ask me, I get tickled when they ask, are you still going to Fairborn? I'm not like you. Yes, I'm still going to Fairborn. That's the oddest question for them to ask when I do that. Are you still going to Fairborn? Say, yeah, I'm going to Fairborn. But, you know, love your enemies. It doesn't matter how they treat you. You don't have to get even with them. Just leave them in God's hands. You be sweet. Amen. You be humble. Right. You let God's love radiate out through you so much that it overpower their bad spirit. And I've seen it. They eventually come back around. They'll come back around, and it's not me having to explain anything. See, when you don't, when you do it right, you don't have to back up and explain yourself. You let them come to you and say, oh, well, we have to have a good talk. I'm like, okay. I don't understand. Okay. We got to explain some things. All right. Well, you know the time that I did. No, I don't know, but I don't mind. I don't care to know. I really don't need to. You don't have to explain nothing to me. I'm good. Just get back to the house of God. Get to the house of God. Now, I may not trust you and just be stupid with you because once, what's they say, once bitten? Twice what? Shy. You bite me one time. Next time you come around, I'll let you come around because I know I need to preach to you. But I ain't going to come around and let you take it over. I've only had one brother that I really said, you can't come and preach. No, I'm not going to tell you who. I know. I know you want to know. None of your business. Y'all don't think I do my job. I keep y'all out of some trouble.
Amen.
But I talked to the brother, and I asked him a few questions, and I realized he'd never changed from where he was a long time ago. And I thought, you know what? You won't edify the body, keeping that old mindset. Because see, what happens when people leave the Word, they stop right there. If you ever run into somebody who's ever left, wherever they left is where they stay. Because if they're left over signs and wonders, there's still signs and wonders. Oh, we got, you know, I'm looking for a revival. I'm going to get this preacher. I'm trying to find this church. I'm trying to get the Spirit of God to speak to me. I'm trying to, they're always searching, looking. I'm like, man, you ain't moved an inch. Because once you move out from where the sun is, you stop growing. So you don't have to worry about trying to protect and do. Just be sweet. You just be a Christian. Show yourself friendly. Show them that, you know, you don't have nothing to be afraid of by coming to talk to me because I'm the same. I'm like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I loved him then, and I love him now, and I'll love him when you come back around. And love your enemies. And by loving your enemies, that God will make them become your friend if they're supposed to be. Some of my enemies will never come back. And that's okay too. Because they go live their world, and I go live in my world. Oh, it's 12 o'clock already. Let me think about this. It's three mighty men of David. I was going to read this just to hit the highlight. It's 2 Samuel chapter 23. Amen. David got over there, and I want to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is my last Sunday. We can. We do have question and answer tonight, so I'm only hurting myself by staying longer. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and David was then, verse 14, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines were then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that I would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. That's all. Yeah. He just thought of it. He was just thinking out loud. He wasn't really trying to make an order. He's just thinking out loud. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy for their lives? Therefore would he not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. David, when he lived and moved, everything he did was typing Christ out in so many ways. Here he was, had men come and brought him a gift and thought that that gift was that gift of a cup of water. But David's like, no, I'm not even worthy to drink this. They gave their life for this. They lived and moved for this. And he turned around and poured it on the ground. Brother Branham said, notice David and getting the water. He never drank it. He said, God forbid, this is the blood of the man that jeopardized their lives. To go out and bring him a drink? Watch. He poured it on the ground for a drink offering to God. Amen. Man and brother, raise your faith just 1 minute now. He refused to drink it himself. He poured it upon the ground as a drink offering to God. How fitting that is, John 3:16. When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, the Prince of Life, come here, didn't have to die. He conquered death himself and poured his own blood out on the ground. Amen. As an offering for our sin. He's our smitten rock. Upon the ground, his precious God-given blood. God did what David did. He so loved us that he poured his own blood out for us. He gave for us. That gift, there was no greater gift than God can do than to give that blood for us.
Amen.
People don't even realize how important that blood was that he gave. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That eternal life came through us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the real gift in you right now. God so loved that he gave. That gift gave you eternal life. And eternal life, the real gift is that the eternal life was given to you when you were born. You just didn't know it. You needed the blood spilt of Jesus Christ to bring into manifestation the real gift that God has given us. And the real gift is our eternal life. That we come from God. We're going to God. We're a part of God. And it's just as much as God gave to Jesus, Jesus gives to us. We turn around and we give ourselves out to somebody else.
Amen.
If God so loved, what should you do?
Amen.
If God gave his gift, what should you give? His greatest gift was his life. Jesus' greatest gift was his life. Your greatest gift is your life. Eternal life. Therefore, your name was in his thinking. That's how you have eternal life. You can't have it in no other way. If you got eternal life, you've always was. See? If otherwise, you can't say, well, I belong to church. I do this. No, sir. Eternal life never had anything that was eternal, never did begin and cannot end. So you were only in his thinking, your name, who you are, what you are. That's the only way you could ever have eternal life, because you always was. God gave you the greatest gift, and you're sitting with it right today.
Yeah, that's right.
This gift has been coming a long time.
Yeah.
It come down through God. Come down through Jesus. It come down through the Word. It come right to you, and you took the Word in, and that gift quickened the eternal gift that was lying inside of you all along.
Right.
Now your life makes sense. Now your heritage makes sense. Now you, why you're in Fairborn makes sense.
Yeah.
Why your family makes sense. Why your friends make sense.
Yeah.
Why your love for the truth makes sense.
Yeah.
That gift is blossoming out inside of you, and you're starting to give what God's gift has been in there all along.
Amen.
That's why we don't have to make Christians.
No.
You are Christians.
Amen.
Christians is to be Christ-like.
Amen.
Jesus sailed over in St. John 6, all that the Father has given me will come. They're going to come. Why? Because the gift lies in them.
Yes.
You don't come here to try to get it. You're not trying to get better and trying to make yourself receive God. God is already in there in a dormant state when you first walk in the door. I don't care if this is your first, second, third time being here.
Yes.
If you agree with the Word and you hear the words coming forth and you say, I've never heard anything like this in my life, that is nothing but the truth. That's that germ seed of God, that eternal gift living in you right now. That's the only way you can agree with the Word.
Right.
If that's not lying in there, you won't want the truth.
Right.
You'll take partial word. You'll give a little here and give a little there. But if you got eternal life living in you, that gift of God will manifest itself out through you with every heartbeat.
Right.
You say, when did I get saved? You were always saved.
Amen.
All you got to do is come to the knowledge in your head that I belong to God.
Right.
I'm that gift that God sent in this generation. I'm receiving the word that's coming forth right now. And as far as I know, I'm going to draw the line in the sand. And from this day forward, I'm born again because I've received the word of God.
That's right.
Oh, you say, I don't feel like it. You don't have to. He didn't say, do you feel it? You don't feel a new birth. You only can believe it. That gift that God gave you is living in you right now. We always look about, oh, when I get my glorified body. Do you realize how powerful you are right now?
Amen.
You are the Word of God in skin.
Amen.
You are an awakened child of God, an awakened part of God, a seed of God that's manifested, germatized, materialized, right in front of everybody's eyes. And they don't know who you are, but you know who you are.
Amen.
That gift of God not only dwelt in him, not only dwelt in Jesus, but now it dwells in you.
Amen.
And you're the walking, talking gift of God right now.
Amen.
They can't get any closer to God than get closer than get up next to you. They can't hear from God unless they hear from you. They can't fellowship with God unless they fellowship with you.
Amen.
You are the final voice to the final age. No other voice, no other people. We become the gift of God to this generation.
That's
right.
No greater gift could God have given this generation than you.
Amen.
No greater gift.
Amen.
What better thing could God have given this generation than you? Just think about it. They want to hear from God. God's not way up there. He's in the next work booth. God's not way up there. He's standing at the grocery store in the cart right in front of you. What greater thing could God have given mankind in this hour than to have a group of people who knows what it is? We're not guessing at this church. That's why every testimony is powerful. That's why every testimony is strong. That's why we're walking around here like this.
Amen. You know it.
We know who we are. We know what to do with the Word of God.
Amen.
I am not a pushover. Satan has a hard time dealing with me.
That's right.
He don't know what to do with this gift. He tries to push it this way. I push back. He tries to pull it that way. I pull the other way. He tries to say you're this. I'll tell him I'm that. He tries to tell you you're no good. I'll tell him I'm perfect. His word has no effect.
That's right.
On the bride.
Amen.
Greatest gift to the world.
Amen.
Sitting right here in these benches.
Amen.
Makes you feel a little better about yourself.
Yeah.
No greater gift. No greater love than what God has given this generation. Won't read it. Matthew 26, the church is built on revelation. That's what we've got. This church is built now. We're not trying to get built, church. We're built. We're built. This is the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
That's why in Revelation it's not Jesus saying come. It's the Spirit and the bride. Because she's the final gift that God was going to give this world. And here we are, just like Jesus was, gave his life for the word. What are you doing? Giving your life for the word. The greatest gift for this generation. Church is built on revelation. We know what it is. This thing is done. We're sealed in. We know exactly who we are now. And it hadn't happened till the evening time. Nobody been in power for you. Nobody. They wondered. They guessed, they probed, they hoped, but they weren't set free like we are.
Amen.
This is the freest this bride has ever been.
Right.
That's why the church world's having trouble with us. They're like, well, you're not making them do this. You're not making them do that. You should make them do this. You should make them do that. No. This is a new day.
Yes.
That gift's got to be in you.
Right.
And when it's in you, you will produce whatever. You know, every flower is different.
why would we think all Christians are going to be alike? God, he never done things like that twice. Every snowflake is different. Every blade of grass is different. Every leaf is different. Every tree is shaped different. Everything is different except for church people. And we try to mass produce Christians. Everybody got to look alike. Everybody got to talk alike. But God ain't done nothing else like that.
Right.
Man has. That's when they started at the turn of the century, and they start the first factories, and they started manufacturing things. Then every widget looked alike. Every plunger was alike. Every spring was alike. Everything was just alike, and you could take pieces and put them together, and when you got them together, they looked just alike. What did the church do? They did the same thing. They got everybody in and manufactured this and make everybody dress alike, make everybody look alike, make everybody talk alike. Don't testify. Don't sing. Don't do this. We've got our singers. They're all practiced. They're good. And some of y'all can't sing, but you know what? You sing better than those expensive singers that don't even know what they're doing.
Amen.
Because it's coming from that's within you, not some process singing that you can hear, and they can do a concert, and they can do it every week just alike, and it sounds just alike. Manufactured. Let the Spirit of God move in this place in a song, and I'll tell you to tear this house down.
Amen.
We've come to a place where we are set free. Brother Branham talked about, and I won't read it, I'm wrapping it up, the Emancipation Proclamation, when the slaves were in slavery. The president had signed that law, and on a certain day, they were going to be set free. And all the slaves knew it. And so that morning, Brother Branham told the story of this, in the morning of the Emancipation Proclamation, the young men climbed up to the top of the mountain. Because that's where you're going to see the sun come up first on a new day. And then the older men went up halfway up the mountain. And then the young women and children and sisters all gathered at the foot of the mountain. And when the young men, because they didn't have clocks and watches, and they weren't privileged to have all that. But they knew that when the sun came up,
amen,
that was the start of a new day.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Amen.
And when the sun started coming over that horizon, and the young men saw that just the glimpse of the sun coming up, they hollered back to the older man.
Yeah.
We are free.
Yeah.
And then the older men hollered back to the women and children. We are free.
Yes, sir.
This day that we're living in, church.
Yeah.
This is the Emancipation Proclamation for the bride of all ages.
Amen.
We come to a point that we're not dependent on anybody to tell us what we need to do, how we need to do it, where we need to do it. But when you are set free, you are free indeed.
Right.
We're at the top of the mountain, top of the pyramid. We're the first ones to see the dawning of the new day. They're still looking at us and saying, we're slaves. We still owe this and we still owe that. But we know that we have been set free. And we're the first ones that were able to set our eyes on the S-O-N. And we're calling back. Oh, it's just not for us in this generation. It's just not for you and me, Jay. But now we're looking back. And we're hollering back to Luther and Wesley. And let them know that we are free. Go all the way back to Martin. And let them know we are free. Go all the way back to Paul and let them know we are free. The greatest gift that God has now has moved into the bride body. And we've been set free. No longer bound by tradition. No longer bound by denomination. No longer bound by the laws of men. But we've been set free by the greatest gift that we could have ever had. The life of Jesus Christ moving in through this body. What are you going to do when you get a group of people who knows what it is? Who can look all the way back, see what he's done, know what he's been doing, know how he's blessed this bride, know how this gift really worked to the body? What are you going to do when you get this group of people together all around the world who can hear that cry that says we are free? No more bondage. No more prison. We've all been set free. And he who the Son has set free
is
free indeed. God's greatest gift has moved into you. Has moved into me. No greater gift could God have given us. What a Christmas present. What a new day.
Amen.
What a new hour.
Amen.
We are free.
Thank you.
And we're not going back. I'm not going back into bondage. I'm not going back into slavery. I'm not going back under men. Oh, they might not like it. Oh, those crop holders, shareholders, those old plantation owners didn't like it. Those old denominations don't like it. But it doesn't matter. I'm free.
Amen.
Nothing they can do about it now.
Amen.
Satan, it's too late.
Lord.
I've seen the sun.
Amen.
That song says, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Yes.
My Lord.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning. Thank you to be set free. Thank you for that great gift that you've given us. That we're not just sitting here hoping and wanting, but Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have called this bride and we're standing on our feet. We know what it is and we know we've been set free.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're so thankful for that, Father. Thank you for that great, no greater gift could you have given us than you gave of yourself. And that gift was so great, it moved down through time and placed itself in the body of Jesus Christ. And that gift was so great, it moved from Jesus Christ and moved down into the bride body in the upper room. And that gift was so powerful and so great, it moved and built a body for 2,000 years. And now it's landed in our laps. We now know what to do with the word. We see the coming of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for how you've blessed us so much. Oh, we've been a blessed group of people. Of all people, we've been blessed. I ask you to continue to bless us as we move out of 22. And Lord, if it be thy will and you see fit to move us into 23, let us be stronger. Let us listen to that voice more. Let us realize that last gift is us. To this generation. Let's be willing to go and do more than we've ever done in our lives. Have your way in our lives. Let your gift ring out through us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Touch those that are sick. Be with us as we gather back for a few more days here. Help us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. No greater gift. If God could have given you something better, he would have. But there is nothing greater than what's living inside of you right now. You say, I don't feel great. You need to recognize what's going on inside of you. Recognize that it's God living in you. And go out here and spread him to the world. Let him touch your paintbrush. Wipe a little eternal life across your friends, across your loved ones, across your family. No greater gift to them than they have by God sending them you. Amen.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the finish where the grapes of wrath have stored. He is loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. His marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that will never sound defeat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my free. Our God is mine.
Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.